Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Sylvia Heyman, Dr. Sylvia, is my guest today. We're going to be talking about habits, what they are, how to get rid of the bad ones, and maybe even how to create some good ones. Back with Dr. Sylvia right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Send me some mail. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Sylvia Heyman, Dr. Sylvia Heyman. She's got a book called Make It a Habit, Creating Health and Happiness for Body, Mind, and Spirit. Hi, Sylvia. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you, Rodney. How about you?
I'm doing super. Hey, where are you calling from?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it, but I'm calling from a volunteer job that I'm doing at the synagogue, and I found this quiet little room where I can talk to you.
Wonderful. Okay.
Actually, it's New York, if that's what you...
That's really what I was going for, but that's okay. But hey, listen, we like to have people, when they come on the show, to tell us a little bit about themselves. Tell us about yourself, Sylvia.
Well, let's see what I can tell you about myself. I've actually had several careers. I'm a nurse. I'm a chiropractor. I'm an acupuncturist. I'm a health coach. And through the process of being a health coach, I got very, very interested in the subject of habits. And that's where I became so fascinated with it that was the inspiration for the book that I wrote.
Okay. Well, let's start off with just the basics. What is a habit?
So a habit is a behavior that we do where we're almost automatically doing it. We're not actually very consciously doing it. We automatically, it's an autopilot, something like brushing our teeth. You know, you go, you get up in the morning, you go and you do brush your teeth. And while you're brushing your teeth, you can think about a thousand other things. You don't have to be concentrating on how to brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what a habit is.
Okay. Now, you need to tell us why it is that people develop bad habits. What causes us to do that?
Well, that's a very good question, Rodney. But we are exposed to many things starting in childhood. So very often we begin even in childhood to develop both good habits and not such good habits,
right.
You know, depending upon, you know, what we learned from our parents and teachers and so forth. And then later on, it really is circumstances. You just simply, some of the habits are perfectly fine. And for instance, if you're driving a car and you're going to a certain place all the time, and one day you're driving a car and you find yourself that you're there, and you weren't even thinking about it, that was your habit to go to that certain place, and that was a good thing.
Is there a difference between a habit and compulsive behavior? Is that the same thing? Or
It's probably in a continuum. You know, I wouldn't say it's in any way the same, because one borders a more delicate or, sort of a component of maybe I'm going to say the word abnormality to have a completely obsessive compulsive behavior, whereas habit is quite normal for people to have. But maybe it's an extension. If you carry your habits too far, it can become exactly what you just said, an obsessive compulsive behavior.
So when we take a look at habits, what kinds of things do you find that people do repeatedly that's a habit that negatively affect just their cells, their way of existence and being. What are some of the bad ones that you see?
Well, you know, I hesitate to say the word bad, but some of the habits that are sabotaging our health and happiness, for instance, could be a situation where, I'm so sorry, there's a little bit of noise coming
up here.
You know, could you just repeat that question again? Person coming in just got me off.
Well, that's okay. You know, bad habits. Why is it that these negatively affect ourself and the way people perceive us? Tell us about that.
My research in habits really took me to very interesting places of what really constitute habits that are not really the best for us. I would say that some of the most prominent ones that really do not serve a good purpose and really upset people are things like clutter, punctuality, procrastination. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are into the habit of doing those behaviors and not realizing that they are really sabotaging their happiness and their sense of well-being because of them.
So habits can be a kind of a behavior that aren't necessarily as like self-comforting, like, say, smoking. I mean, it can be the kind of behavior like, you know, you just constantly put things off, or you like to live in a, or you don't clean up after yourself. You live in a cluttered environment. So I think that's what I'm getting that you say. But since I mentioned smoking, what about smoking? Tell me about that.
Well, smoking starts off as a habit. And then it becomes an addiction when it is you're physically impaired by it. So most of the time when we have habits, for instance, we'll go back to brushing your teeth. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's one day that you cannot brush your teeth for whatever reason, you're not going to have any kind of effects in your body from that. You just didn't brush your teeth then. But smoking has a visceral effect on the body. So it becomes, it borders into a habit that becomes an addiction.
So an addiction would be different than a habit.
An addiction would be an extension. It starts off, it is definitely a habitual behavior, but it goes further into the, it becomes more pathological, and it is dealt with it differently. And in my book, I specifically mentioned that we won't go there because that's a whole different gamut of things.
Okay. All right. Well, I haven't seen your book, but it sounds very interesting. Well, let's talk about good habits for a second. What are some examples of good habits?
Good habits. Well, you know, people don't sometimes realize that good habits is really, and not just the health one. Of course, everybody knows that drinking water is a good habit. Paying attention to one's nutrition and avoiding junk food and heavily processed food and being mindful about eating. All these are good habits, and I think most people are aware of that. But some people don't realize that it can be a habit to be sometimes even a gracious person. You walking down the street and you passing by somebody, say for instance, you have to hold the door open for somebody, and some people do and some people don't.
That's right.
And it borders a little bit into how you're brought up, but it becomes a habit after a while that you're going through a door and you just leave it open for somebody else, and you might be talking and not realizing that that's a habit. That's a good habit.
Right.
And the other good habit, of course, is cleaning after yourself, making the bed in the morning, hanging your clothes up in the night so that you don't end up in an environment that is so very, almost toxic when you have so much going on in the environment and things all over the place. It upsets your brain and it can become very deleterious to your general behavior.
Would you say, Dr. Sylvie, that if you practice those kinds of good habits that you would generally feel better?
Definitely. I think that most people, they wouldn't be doing it. See, one of the things about habit, Rodney, is that it gets established through a loop whereby you've got to have some kind of reward. Otherwise, you wouldn't be continuing it. A habit will start by a conscious thought in the prefrontal cortex, in the top of the brain, mm-hmm. the front of the brain. And, you know, when it becomes a habit, it goes to another part of the brain, and then it just goes on automatically. But in order for that habit to start setting off and to start becoming a habit, there's got to be some sort of reward, because why else would anybody repeat that behavior over and over and over again until it becomes a habit?
Right.
So there is some sort of a reward.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. I was just sitting here thinking about it when you were talking about opening the door. When I was in college and I was a pledge in my fraternity, if you were caught not opening the door for a woman, you got in trouble. And there would be you would have to do push-ups in front of everybody. And so I got in the habit of opening the door for women. And I've done this all my adult life now. But the funny thing about it is how surprised people are, I've noticed over the years when I do it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I've noticed is that sometimes when I hold the door open for people, and this happens quite a bit, there will be 47,000 people go through that open door.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. awful. It's just odd. I don't know. It has nothing to do with anything. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay.
No, it has a lot to do. It has a lot to do with what we're talking about. And one of the chapters in the book I dedicate to how do you instill good habits in children?
I was going to ask you about that, but mm-hmm. but I was going to take it a step further. How do we instill good habits in ourselves, those of us that are older, I guess you could say set in our ways? How does one go about identifying bad habits, and then how do we get rid of them and instill good habits? Can you talk to us about that?
That's a loaded question, and I love it, but it is the subject of a lot of investigation. Uh-huh. So awareness about something that you're doing habitually that you don't like is essential in order to go to the next stage, which is changing it.
Okay.
So there is no way that a habit can be changed unless there is some sort of awareness that, you know what, this is what I do, and I'm aware of it, and I need to make some change. I need to stop doing that. So that's the first part of it.
Okay.
And it's a bit of motivation going in there, because, for, you know, you have some motivation. Like, you could be aware, for instance, that you're 50 pounds overweight and have mm-hmm. absolutely no motivation, desire to do anything about it. So awareness and some sort of motivation. So once you have that, you have to think there's also stages of being ready for the change. And you really should know where you're at. Are you really ready to make a change today, or are you just thinking about it? But say now we know that you are aware and you're going to make a change. So the key about it is that you want to keep it simple in changing the habit. You want to be very specific. And you want to be able to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until it becomes a habit. And then it will have a influence on other parts of you. So, for instance, say you want to, you say, you know, I've got to start exercising. My doctor told me I've got to start doing this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going into the whole exercise program and getting into a gym and going into a trainer and doing, that's not going to work. What is going to work is by saying, okay, you choose one specific exercise that you would like to do. You know, I love dancing, so that would be mine. Some people say, well, I don't mind doing a walking. But you make up your mind that you're going to do one little exercise. And then you're going to set up a trigger for yourself. Maybe just have your sneakers ready so that when you see your sneakers, you go, why are the sneakers there? Oh, yeah, that's why I'm going to exercise. And then you start with very small little baby steps. Maybe you don't exercise every day. Maybe you just do it once a week. And maybe you just put the sneakers on and you go to the health club or downstairs to the fitness room. You take a look at it and you come up. But now you're going to start getting the habit of going into the fitness room and small little steps. And maybe the next time you say, well, I'm here already, I might as well do 5 minutes of treadmill. So then you're going to do 5 minutes of treadmill, and you do that for a while until it becomes natural, until you just automatically start putting your sneakers on and going to do that particular exercise. And before you know it, it really starts to ramify into a whole program. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And I guess my question would be to take it just a step further into something that is not quite as tangible as exercise, say, maybe like listening to people. Would the steps be the same to train yourself to be more, you know, of a listener?
Yes. Actually, that is one of the case studies that I have in my book. Mm-hmm. So interrupting is really a form of not listening. because you can't be talking and listening at the same time. So when you are aware of the fact that that's happening, maybe somebody pointed it out, or maybe you lost a relationship because of that, or maybe you were threatened about a job situation because you weren't a good listener. Mm-hmm. But now you're aware. So when that happens, you say you could do this. You could just say once a week, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 12 noon, I will engage in conversation with someone, but I will just listen. I will just focus on them, look at them, and just listen. Just for that time. Mm-hmm. And all the other times, I'll be whoever I am, but just that one time. So once a week for 10 to 12, you're going to do that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Little steps, baby steps, very, very doable. And you start getting a satisfaction. There's a reward. Mm-hmm. The reward comes from people really feeling like, wow, you're really listening to me. It's really nice talking to you. Mm-hmm. Really nice talking to you. And all of a sudden, it opens up a whole array of different kinds of sensations, and that's the reward. And now you start spreading. Okay, if I could do it then, I can do it. I can do it again. I can do it another time. And before you know it, it becomes a habit. You know, it just goes in there. Yeah.
I think that people sometimes don't realize that when you're just taking listening as a specific example, that when you're talking and someone's not listening to you, that you can tell that they're not really mm-hmm. listening. And I think people don't realize that sometimes. I don't know.
But they may not realize it, but I think they sense it, because I think most people do sense it. And it mostly has to do with eye contact. It really mostly has to do with staying focused and eye contact. It, you know, sometimes you can nod and you can do various different things, what's comfortable for you. But most people do know the difference that, I don't know, that person didn't hear me.
Well, particularly zeroing in on listening, I can tell you as someone who's been married for a large number of years that you might be able to get away with faking it every once in a while, but if you don't listen, you're going to run into problems.
Absolutely.
You have to listen. I noticed that your book is laid out with, now I haven't actually seen the book, these are just things I've read, but you use, instead of it being like a dry textbook sort of thing, it's case studies, right?
Lots of them, lots of stories. Mm-hmm. Yes, lots of stories, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in these case studies, you take specific examples, I'm assuming, of habits that people have changed?
Yes, exactly. Habits that people have recognized mm-hmm. and have sought help for it. So it's the habit, and then what advice or what recommendations or what methods that they can use in order to make a change in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So it's... Mm-hmm. It's more real that way, I think, and I think that's a good way to do that. How do we get that book? Where do we go for that?
Well, You can get that book in Amazon.
Okay.
It's in Kindle form as well as printed form in Amazon. All you need to do is either put my name, Sylvie Heyman, or make it a habit and it should pop up. And you can order it that way. You can also get it from Barnes and Noble only online. And that would be the paper form, the printed form. Mm-hmm. I also have a book website that is called healthyhabits.com. But, you know, that's kind of large. Healthyhabits.com, make it a habit book and with dashes. But that would be something that would be better to show someone or a link.
Okay, cool.
But certainly in Amazon and Barnes & Noble is available.
I checked out your website. It's really cool.
Thank you. My
guest is Sylvie Heyman, and I want to let you know that book is called Make It a Habit, Creating Health and Happiness for Body, Mind, and Spirit. Sylvie, thank you so much for being here today. We sure do appreciate it.
Oh, Rodney, you're so welcome. I've so much enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Love to hear from you. My email address is matersrodney@yahoo.com. Got a show idea? Got a suggestion for a topic? Let me know about it, and I'd like to hear how you're doing as well. matersrodney@yahoo.com. I want to thank Dr. Sylvie Heyman as my special guest today, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? See you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.